You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
Dave Hodges is as mad as hell, and he's not gonna take it anymore.
I'd like to help you, Dr. If I really, really would, but the din in my head, it's too much and it's not good. I'm standing in a window tunnel, shouting through the roar, and I'd like to give the information, asking for no good blood makes noise. It's ringing in my ear, blood makes noise, and I can't really hear you in the thickening of fear.
Common sense is not so common. This is the Common Sense Show with Dave Hodges.
Good Sunday evening, everybody, and welcome to another exciting edition of the Common Sense Show. And this may be a little more exciting than I bargained for. We've got some stuff we're going to throw out on the table that has not been heard by the general public. And we were going to broach that in the third hour, and we're already experiencing technical difficulties. So the gremlins are out. These things did not strike until we were less than 5 minutes away from the top of the hour. So we've been here before. You remember the interview that we did with Ms. Cox, and we were talking about the Bundys, and then I had Ammon on. Oh, I didn't have Ammon on. We got taken down. That's right. Both satellites, different parts of the country, taken down at the same time. Couldn't even do the show by phone. And I'm hoping we don't get to that level, but you know, the powers that be will do what they got to do. But anyway, we're going to press on. We got a great show for you this evening. In the first hour, we have Christine Smith, and we're going to be talking about Democrats. And if you know a Democrat, please call them and have them listen. I don't want to just preach to the choir tonight. Right now, call your most liberal friend, because we all have them, and have them listen. I don't care what you got to do. Hold their head down to the radio, but have them listen to what we're going to expose. In the third hour, I want to jump right to that. We have Paul Preston. It's going to be explosive, and I do mean explosive. And in the second hour, we're going to have Dr. Ted Brewer. We're going to talk about, well, let's put it this way, medical treatments that are withheld. And we're also going to talk a little bit about Trump and the omnibus spill. And there's a lot of consternation about that. A lot of people feel betrayed, and we're going to kick that around. So that's Dr. Ted in the second hour. We are brought to you by Renaissance Precious Metals. That's my good friend Steve Quayle. And Steve Quayle will convert your soon-to-be worthless cash into precious metals. So if the crash does come, and some people think with the debt load, it's not a matter of if but when, then you will be in good shape coming out the other side. Steve Quayle, 406-586-4842. That's 406-586-4842 for the most low-pressure precious metal sales I've ever encountered. I almost had to beg him to let me buy into this, and he'll tell you whether he can help you or not after he has a discussion with you. Speaking of Steve, the conference in Branson, it's way more than half filled. And yes, it's not until September, but folks, it's going to be sold out before we get through the spring. In fact, probably well before that. And I'm hoping you're going to come and meet me, because I've been asked to cover this event as a member of the media. And it's a great conference on transhumanism. Steve Quayle, Tim Alberino, who's on our show next week, on and on and on. Pastor Langford is absolutely fantastic. And you can go to thecommonsenseshow.com and click on the conference banner ad in the right-hand side of the website. It'll take you right to where you can sign up to register. It's absolutely fantastic. Well, after you listen to tonight's show, and this may be not the time to tell you about this, but I will tell you, it's something that you're going to wish you had this information by the time you're done listening tonight. Storable food. You need food, water, guns, gold, ammo, and medicine to get through any type of societal breakdown. And we're headed for a collision course. The populism versus the control of the deep state. Did you see what Microsoft is doing? I got their terms of service mailed to me last night, and they basically told me they can take over my computer. They can extract any file, and they can ban me from the use. People aren't going to settle for this. People aren't going to have their guns taken from them. People aren't going to have their internet deprived from them. People are going to stand up. And this puts us on a collision course. So are you ready? Are you ready for a disruption of service? Well, Numana Foods will help you get through the tough times if the just-in-time deliveries at your grocery store stop. How do you get Numana? Well, it's great restaurant-quality food. You can get it at numana.com/Hodges. That's numana.com/Hodges, and use the coupon code Hodges10 to take 10% off. Well, Christine Smith is someone who we've interviewed before, and it was such a good interview that I wanted to have her back. And she said, Dave, I've kind of been after the Democrats, and I wrote a really good essay. It's fantastic. She's got a great website. We're going to tell you all about that as we progress through this interview. So in the first hour, Christine Smith is our guest. Christine, I'm so glad you could join us. Thanks for being with us.
It is a pleasure to be with you and your audience again, Dave.
Well, you have become one of the emerging voices for freedom. I mean, you're getting a lot of attention. I don't know if you're aware of that or not, but I've had colleagues mention you to me, and I said, oh, yes, I did a pre-record with her a few months ago. It was fantastic, and we're having her on again. So your word is getting out there, but I think your message is particularly important because we're entering the season of the midterm election campaigns, and we can't afford to let the Democrats take over.
Exactly right, and that is why I decided we need to focus upon exactly what the Democratic Party has become in this country. Without exception, we need to be electing Republicans, and I do not say that from a partisan viewpoint. I say it from a loving viewpoint, from a life-giving viewpoint, and it is precisely why I wrote my recent essay, Democrats, the Party of Death. Because, Dave, rather than focus on any life-giving solution to address the causes or prevention or provision for those people in need, Democrats advocate on all the issues I look at, that which is going to kill the human spirit, and often what they stand for is going to kill the body. They stand for death. They are the party of death. I know that there are Democrats out there listening to us tonight, Dave, you know, who may be saying they don't believe in death. However, I have to say this. You are aligned with a very evil political party. Never in my life did I think I would have to consider one of the major political parties in my country as the party of death. And I'm not saying this for exaggeration or hyperbole whatsoever. The Democrats, and we can see it in their obstructionist behavior against the Trump administration, they want death to everything. Every beautiful idea America has valued, whether it's our beauty, our culture, decency, personal responsibility, they reject God, they reject the family, and when you do that, they reject country, you stand for death. And when you think about it objectively on the issues, everything they advocate is for death. It's darkness, it's decay, and they exploit people who have been oppressed, who do feel victimized in our society, and it is to those people who are humanitarian-minded and care and loving that I am appealing to. The time has come for you to change your political party so that it will more closely align with the values in your heart. If you have love in your heart, you can no longer remain a Democrat based upon what the elected Democratic Party is doing.
You're absolutely right, but here's the problem you're going to have. I want to talk about my friend Joe, and he's one of the most wonderful human beings I know. We share the commonality of both being former college basketball coaches, and we developed a very deep friendship. He's as liberal as the day is long, and he's a good person. He's not for all the death and destruction of the Democratic Party. He's basically, Christine, he's looked at the Democratic Party as being the voice of people who are too poor, too indigent to speak up for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And that's his motivation. And this is what keeps a lot of these people hooked, because they're thinking, if I switch over, who's going to speak for my poor brethren who have no voice? What would you say
exactly
to those people?
What I would say is the Democrats are not helping the oppressed. They're not helping the minorities. They're not helping the poor whatsoever. What you need to do is stop listening to the rhetoric they use and have relied upon for decades and start looking at their actions. Because right now, the last year is a perfect example of the very people you would want to see helped. Take a look at the unemployment rates are our lowest. For Latinos, for blacks, take a look at what's going on in the educational system. take a look at what is going on in the economy that is going to help the poor. So you need to not delude yourself just because you have been a Democrat for many years, as many people have, but you need to take a look at the actions. And when you see a perfect example, as in the State of the Union, when President Trump was speaking, and he spoke of nonpartisan, what should be nonpartisan advancements and achievements on behalf of people who have been suffering, and those Democrats sat there with their dour faces. They vote against everything. DACA is another perfect example. They say they cared about the DACA people, and yet they are doing nothing to help them. And I would have to say to such a friend as you described that the time has come now to take a look at the values in your heart and who is actually making a difference in helping people, because it's not the Democrats. Things have changed, Dave. And, yes, we've always associated the two parties in that way. And I am saying both parties have changed substantially so that those who do love and are humanitarian can become Republican now and share your voice, your ideas on how to help in these areas. But you need to join with others who have fundamental values in common.
What would you say to the person who says, oh, Christine and Dave, you guys are so full of it. It's the two parties are really one party. They're just different wings of the same bird.
I think for the longest time it has been that way, and it is exactly why I rejected political involvement for a number of years, despite my being deeply involved in politics. For most of my life, for my entire adult life, even when I was a teen, I came to view those parties that way until President Trump was elected, and I saw restored to government what it is supposed to be, which is for the people, the power coming back to the people. Do those words sound familiar, Democrats? Because your party acts like it's for the people, and yet we have a Republican president now that is actually taking actions that are helping the people in measurable ways, including in our pocketbook. So, yes, I think that those people have been correct, and it is how I felt for many years and why I felt that there was almost no use in being politically involved until President Trump was elected, and I actually see the power returning to the people, a focus on good governance, not power given to the government just for those who are in power. So I think that that was true for a very long time, but I think that President Trump has put us in the right direction. And that is why we need everyone to join us, humanitarian, loving, caring about the poor. If you're that kind of person, we need you. We need your input, because the Democrats aren't going to listen to you.
Well, not when they're holding DACA for hostage. I totally agree with what you said. The Democrats tried to use DACA as a bargaining chip to get 10 million more illegals into the country. I was talking to Congressman Paul Gosar. He's my congressman, and this conversation goes back about 60 days. And Congressman Gosar told me, he says, Dave, he said, they need to bring in 10 million people to win the next general election. They cannot do it, even with voter fraud. And so they use DACA as a bargaining chip. They're holding these poor kids out who had no choice to come here to this country. They didn't make the decision to break the law, and we shouldn't hold them accountable. But the Democrats are letting them twist in the wind.
The Democrats let everyone twist in the wind when it gets right down to it. They have not done any legislation which has actually helped those who have been oppressed and have been ignored. And that is, I think, one of the most glaring examples now, and I don't see how anyone who has a good heart could remain in that party now. You see that fundamentally, no matter what is good for the American people, they are going to oppose it. They are fixated on partisan politics, whilst we, those who are Trump Republicans, are focused on love for the American family.
That I totally agree with, but I see the Democrat as being the Democratic Party as being anti-family values. Let me give you
an
example.
Well, yes, I would say that the Democratic Party has become anti-God and anti-family, and it goes back to the Marxist beginnings and influence in this country, which has been taken hold for over the last 80 years. What we are seeing now, Dave, is a complete expression of those professors who came from the Frankfurt School back in the 1930s, fleeing the Nazis. They came over here with their Marxist agenda, taught in our universities, influenced the media, and their goal was to use those who were oppressed, whether it was minorities, whether it was women. They focused upon homosexuality. They focused on anyone in society that they could divide and say, we are here for you. But their goal is to destroy America.
The key word there is divide. I don't know if you heard of what's going on at Mount Holyoke College. It's an all-women's college, somewhat prestigious, and it's been it's graduated several prestigious people, and they've achieved great things. But they now have issued an edict, the administration has, to their professors, that they can't use the word women or ladies in their classroom. You want to talk about destroying fundamental values? There's no such thing as two genders anymore. Did you know that? If you say that on YouTube, they might terminate your account.
Well, you know, I take a look at it. Right now, we've got some municipalities recognizing between, 30 to over 60, what they call, non-binary genders. They're citing like 30 to 60. And my focus is that as they attack the men in our society, as they attack the Christians in our society, they also infiltrate everything about what is family is supposed to be. We've got a country here, Dave, where half the pregnancies are unwanted, despite contraception being cheap and readily available. But instead, what do Democrats advocate? The murdering of babies. That's what they say is the answer. Again, they never seek a solution. We also live in a country where suicides outnumber homicides, and the same is true for our teenagers. What kind of country is it when we have more of our teenagers killing themselves? The answer isn't anything to do with gun control, because we have teenagers who are so distraught, so confused by this society around them, which is directly because of the radical liberals destroying anything cohesive in their lives. We have all of these type of problems. We have the cities in our country that are have been controlled by Democrats, multiple Democrats being elected as mayors. And these are the worst cities. Used to be some of our most beautiful cities. They are the worst when it comes to sanitation. They are the worst when it comes to crime. Wherever Democrats rule, people die. People suffer. And what can you expect with our teenagers not to be confused, not to rebel, not to be angry, or even kill themselves when all around them is confusion instead of love of God, love of family, we are here for you? That's not valued anymore, and they are accomplishing what they set out to do. And I do say that this was a Marxist plan to destroy America, and it has taken hold. Despair, alienation, depression, anger. This, to me, is directly because of what Democrats have done to our country.
Who do you see as being the masterminds behind this plot?
Well, I actually, although there are, of course, those of immense wealth, great wealth, that are funding the radical liberal organizations in our country and abroad affecting it, but it really goes back, as I mentioned earlier, to the Frankfurt School, which is primarily were Jewish philosophers who were atheistic, and they had to flee Nazi Germany. And many of those professors came over here in the 1930s and 1940s and began teaching in our major universities, Columbia University, several of the universities out in California. And they began teaching and writing a number of books. One of the primary ones was Herbert Marcuse, and he wrote a number of books that were really utilized in the 1960s and the 1970s in the counterculture. And again, what that really was meant to affect the culture, destroy the culture, and then we can destroy the economy and we can destroy capitalism. So it was that plan, and I would say that it, after 80 years of such indoctrination in the media, in the universities, and certainly in the 60s and 70s, that really took hold. And a lot of the leaders of the counterculture at the time listened to Marcuse. He was really elevated in this country and worldwide, and yet it was just classic Marxism, and that is where they came from, and it is they have accomplished much. A number of those professors, Dave, did go back to Europe after World War II, and many also, some remained here in the United States to wreak their havoc.
Well, they wreaked their havoc certainly across the colleges. I mean, the colleges are filled with social justice warriors. Is this democratically inspired, in your opinion?
Well, yes, it is. It's divisive. It's obsessed with eliminating the freedom for every individual. It is advocating collectivism, which always results in suffering, no matter where we look at it in the world. They speak of tolerance, and they exhibit intolerance. They do not actually respect people of differing views. Take a look at the vehement, hateful, and often violent rhetoric we are hearing, whether it's from celebrities, whether it's from, you know, Democratic, elected Democrats, the things they are able to say. And yes, as I said, after 80 years of that going into young people, them having their families and raising their children, it is no wonder that we have so many who are so confused. And I consider them, it's just like the marches out there today of these teenagers. They, many of them, just like your friend, might have that, be the well-meaning liberal, but you need to use your mind also, and you need to use some critical thinking instead of just blindly repeating, regurgitating what your parents and what you have been taught. And again, this is so deeply involved in who's raising them, but they come out with this. They are the useful idiots of the Democratic Party and the radical liberals. And it's very sad because they're actually advocating for death. Once again, take a look at the marches today. March for your lives. You're marching for your death if you march against the very tools that could defend you. It's so obvious. You take a look at what happened up in Maryland, and it was a man with a firearm that saved what could have been a tremendous, much more tremendous tragedy like happened in Florida. They don't want to actually look at solutions. Again, they rely upon emotionalism, the exploitation and manipulation of genuine grief and genuine feeling. And I am telling people out there, you need to get out of your emotionalism and apply some critical thought and say, where are the solutions? And right now, Dave, the Democrats don't want any solutions. That is why you need to change your political party and join with people who want to listen and find those solutions.
Let me take a right turn just for a second. We may not stay here very long, but I think this supports what you're saying. Trevor Loudon, and he did a documentary and wrote a subsequent book called The Enemies Within. And it's available, the documentary is available on Amazon Prime. And I was enthralled with it. I've cited it many times. He actually did research on many of our top Democratic leaders. And they belong to front groups for the American Communist Party, as well as the Muslim Brotherhood, the world's biggest terrorist organization. Are you aware of this?
Somewhat, yes.
Well, if we wonder where the values get screwed up. But
well,
exactly.
I think that is the kind of expose and exposure that needs to be done. I was actually looking at a number of the professors across the United States today. Not 10 years ago, not 20 years ago, but today, who cite some of these very persons who were dedicated to Marxism and eliminating the United States of America as we know it, as a capitalistic society. And many of them cite some of these people as those that they emulate, whom they admire. It's their heroes. So, yes, it's a very, very deep set, and I think any such exposure is necessary. But it all comes down to people's vulnerability, Dave. Their vulnerability is where they let their emotionalism control them. You may have deep feelings and caring for people, but you need to go another step, not just listen to some Democratic politician who says, I'm here for you, and does nothing for you. You are being exploited. You are being used so that they will gain the power and have the control over you. Democrats are always for bigger and bigger government and less power to the people. And that's what it's come down to. They are no longer a political party that just has a different approach. They are a political party that is intent on destroying America, in my opinion.
I agree with you. I have said this many times. The deep state, as we call them, are doing their dirty work through the Democratic Party.
And it comes in that clean, sanitized way. Because, as you said, it's not like they're identifying who has influenced them. And, you know, these type of protests, These are not spontaneous that happen. They are, as you said and alluded to, you know, these are, they know exactly what they're doing. They know when they can call up those people. And again, it's sad. I'm not saying this in a derogatory way, but people who don't think they're being used and manipulated, and frankly, that's quite stupid. There's no way that a person with their eyes wide open looking at what the Democratic Party has done, and I'm just going to even isolate it to the last year, what they have done against you as an American, as a person who does care about other human beings. And in the examples, whether it's the rampant violent gangs, the mass murders, which is in the news, how do we stop that? You take a look at abortion, suicide, the things that really matter that are taking the lives of Americans, the Democrats don't care about. But they want those problems to remain because they rely upon dividing people and acting like they have a solution, but they don't want a solution. There will never be a solution from them, and there's never going to be help for the people that you care about in this society.
I was having a discussion with a Democratic politician here in Arizona where I live a year ago, and we were trying to talk about things like gun control and pro-life and so forth. And I stopped and I said, you know, you're intelligent, but your argument lacks coherence. You have no validity. You have nothing to back up what you're saying. And she looked at me and she said, it doesn't matter. It's all about keeping the argument going.
Exactly.
That's what they're about. They're about to divide and conquer.
That's a very sad way to live. And I would remind people out there, you know, the central issues, like you just said, keeping the argument going. They want to keep DACA going. Well, I think that's going to fail. I think a lot of people who do care about young people who this is the only country they've known, people who do care are seeing who's not letting it happen now. Even, I'm going to say this, persons with a controversy over abortion, okay, it's now turned into infanticide. Because we not only have 600,000 murders per year of babies, and I think that's probably an underestimate because some states don't report, but there is something that I almost think everybody would agree with, and that's called the Born Alive Abortion Survivors Protection Act. That would protect babies that were born alive during an abortion, give them medical care, okay, if they survived it and they lived despite it. And I just cite this as an example of Democrats always being for death. This bill did pass. It was 241 to 183. All Republicans voted for the final passage. Only six Democrats did. So I'm saying to you who might be listening to me, if you're a pro-life Democrat, if you're a conservative Democrat, if you're one of those Democrats, and there were an awful lot of you who voted for Donald Trump, you need to not be a Democrat anymore because your party's not listening to you, but we will.
You know, one of the things that really bothers me is how can one be a member of the Democratic Party and profess to be a Christian?
Yes.
Aren't there contradictions there? Would you like to explore that a little bit with me?
I most certainly will, because fundamentally, though I discuss the political issues, this is not about political disagreement. This is spiritual warfare now. You know, the Democratic Party now representing on all, so many issues, that which destroys our society and results in the death of people one way or another. It reminds me of a passage in Isaiah that said, "Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil." And that is exactly what we have. We are in a spiritual battle right now, and we are seeing it more pronounced than we ever have before, solely, I believe, because of President Trump's election. He is a man unafraid to call evil, identify evil for what it is. He speaks of good and evil as no other president has. He is the first president in my lifetime, and I'm 51 years old, who actually speaks of the human family. He's not trying to divide. He's trying to help, and he speaks of us as a Christian nation, a nation under God, a nation with a Judeo-Christian past and development. He's not afraid to do that, and in this Christian nation, we have the Constitution, which allows everyone to have that equality under the law. And that is what he wishes to show in all of these areas. And the Democrats, on the contrary, want to divide and take those special groups and go against those with Judeo-Christian values. And that is why they, of course, attack the family and the sexual morals of the nation as a family, all of this and abortion. We are talking about a spiritual battle that I think has come to the fore because we have a righteous man as president. I don't look to President Trump to be someone to teach to me like he's a preacher. I don't look to him as somebody that I'm going to go to give me a sermon. But what I do look to him for, and what I am receiving, and all Americans are, is a man who does stand for what is good, who is trying to evince what God's will is for this country again and turn it around. And I think that it has completely disturbed to so much the Democrats. He is a man who represents everything that they are not, that they had achieved for this country. Its downfall is now being turned around. And it reminds me of that scripture that we don't war against. We think it's flesh and blood, but this is really diabolical. This is demonic, what is happening and what's happening in this country. And finally, we elected a man who's not afraid to see it, say it, and do something about it. Yes, this is a spiritual battle, no doubt about it.
Okay, so let's jump right out to the edge now. You're talking to someone here that I feel like many of my brothers and sisters in this movement. I risk my life, I've risked my livelihood, I've risked my reputation in supporting Donald Trump, and I took enormous risk to oppose Hillary Clinton because we know what that can mean if you touch the wrong issues. Now, having said that, on the day that President Trump signed the omnibus at 6:55 a.m., he said he had no intention of signing it, and he did. And the omnibus gives $500 million to Planned Parenthood, doubles the amount of foreign aliens that come in on working visas to take American jobs.
Mm-hmm.
How do we put all these? Listen, I feel confused.
Mm-hmm.
Betrayed, and I'm looking for a way out of the wilderness.
I believe that he did, because I actually do trust that he is always endeavoring to do what is good for the country, for Americans. I think that his statement, when he signed it, Dave, showed the great unhappiness, dissatisfaction. He completely rejected those things, and I do believe, and it's an omnibus, it's through September, I do believe that he did this weighing the greater good that he felt was necessary due to the number of deaths that are happening in our military during military practices, not in combat, that they are dying just because they're not having enough practice and their equipment. I believe also in regards to what you talked about, we certainly do not want those who enter our country illegally and commit violent crimes to be continued to be allowed to do that. And despite its provision, yes, we know we've never had a more pro-life president than President Trump. Despite his opposition to that money going to Planned Parenthood, despite his opposition in regards to the illegal immigrants, protecting right now and providing for the military, he was forced to do that. And I will use this as an example. And that is exactly why we need more Republicans in there who would not put such an omnibus and put all of those that he cannot line by line veto. He doesn't have that power. But I think that it was a very difficult decision. I do not second guess him. Yes, it's very unfortunate the incredible waste that the Democrats put in there for their social programs, for all of their programs, and for their evil programs. And I do believe him when he says it's not going to happen again, but I do believe he felt that the military needed this, our country needed it for its sole protection, and then we will proceed from there. I think he has made that very clear, Dave.
So he made a deal for the military. And listen, on my meter of 1 to 100, that kind of gets me to 30. And I understand. I'm not going to agree with everything this man does, and I'm still going to support him because we have no alternative. I mean, Christine, we have nowhere else to turn.
No,
I
think this is. I have to tell you, I believe President Trump's election is indeed a miracle for America, And no man that we elect as president, no political party that you might choose to join, are you going to agree with every action they take 100%. That is unreasonable. But you do need to look at the core values of a man, in this case President Trump, and his values in relation to being a leader of the free world. Focus on free, and he wants us to remain free. We have never had someone who is as effective as he has been. I trust him, and I am sure that it is one of the most difficult jobs for him to undertake and choose to willingly undergo all of this stress just to serve this country and hopefully save it from the despair and where he saw it going. So no, Dave, one may not always agree with every issue or position or the way he approaches it or who he nominates for a position, but I am saying that man is here to do what he believes is right. That's integrity, and I think that his core values are loving for the American family. He didn't have to do what he's doing, and he's doing it exceptionally well. That is what I trust. Doesn't mean you will always agree, but what you can do is trust he has, as they say, he has our back. We need to have his. That's why I'm calling out to good Democrats out there. Your party left you a long time ago.
I'd say, what party? The deep state party that wants to bring down the Constitution, turn
you know,
this country
across,
over to globalists?
That crosses party lines. You know, Dave, that is cross party lines, and we see that against the president himself within his own party. And that's absolutely disgusting. It's deplorable. And that, again, is why I am encouraging not only people to join this party, even if it is for years was the opposite. You got to look at who's actually trying to solve problems and help people and bring light into this country. And you mentioned the midterms at the beginning of this election. It is why we need to support those persons who are going to support Trump's agenda, because Trump's agenda is for the American people. It's for all of us working people. It's for all of us with our families. No more positive has happened in our lives until he was elected. So, again, you need to get over that emotionalism to reject someone because you disagree on one thing. You need to look at the fundamentals, and he is doing great good for this country.
Well, he has created 3 million new jobs since he was inaugurated. And last year, in 2017, 700,000 millionaires were created, which is a record. So when we look at these kind of economic numbers, there's no question what he has done. But let me share with you, though, where I'm really concerned.
Okay.
And I'm going to leave the omnibus bill out because it is temporary, and
yes,
perhaps he'll turn this back. We'll wait and see. But where I'm really concerned is I feel that there is a coup going on right now against this president. And let me be specific. He's had two helicopters that have been crashed in the last 60 days, I believe it was, 90 days. And his son is getting divorced, and that's a normal part of living. But I understand that the deep state had a role in this divorce by bringing certain things to light. And I have an inside source that told me how it was done and specifically what was done. And I'm not going to even give credence to it by giving out the details. But let's put it this way. I see Trump being attacked in many ways. I think his family is in danger. I think his presidency is in danger. I think there could be a coup any day. California, with CalExit and Brown and Eric Holder and all these people, are seeking to leave the United States. I think they're trying to start a revolution in California and let it spread. They're letting MS-13 come across the border in California along with ISIS.
Right.
These are things. This is what we're talking about in the third hour tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Do you believe, as I believe right now, that a coup is forming against this president?
I believe that President Trump, and I'm sure that he is quite aware on a number of levels, is probably one in the most seriously threatened politically, if not otherwise. I am not personally familiar with all of the information you were just sharing, but I will say this. I'm sure the man is aware that there is so much vitriolic hatred of him both in the some of the populace that are being manipulated, as well as those that would be in what we would call the deep state. And I would suggest that is why all the more we should appreciate him. We should pray for him. We should ignore all of the irrelevant gossip that is used, whether it is in regards, you were mentioning his son, or whether it's in regards to him, because it is all irrelevant. They will use anything they think will somehow bring him down, and they are going to fail, because the powers of darkness are not going to prevail against God's righteousness. And
that's part
I suggest
I agree
that
with
all
you, but...
Christians pray for our president, and I do not know of the specifics you are discussing, but I am sure President Trump is quite aware and makes provisions for his own safety.
Well, he has gone to letting the Marines largely protect him, because he doesn't, for good reason, trust the Secret Service. And that's what I'm saying. This man does not have an easy job.
No.
I believe he is being targeted. To the extent, I don't know. What lies ahead here? Where do you see his presidency going?
Well, I believe that President Trump is going to proceed, and I believe that he is going to try, emphasis on try, because we cannot do anything about the Democratic Party, who does not care about Americans, and they will simply obstruct. But I think that he's going to try, and I think that he is going to be overall successful in fulfilling all of the promises he made to us while he was running. And any promise that he is unable to fulfill, it won't be for lack of trying. It will be because of the Democratic Party. And I believe that he is going to inspire, and I think he's going to attract many more people to join this movement to keep America great. I also believe that he will be reelected, and that we are going to continue, and we're going to have 8 good years to turn this country around and save it, because it was being destroyed before. And had the election gone any other way, I don't think we would have the United States of America as we know it. But I believe that it is going to be saved, and it takes all of us to join. This is a movement. This isn't about one man. This is about one man who gave up a very wonderful, comfortable life of wealth and everything that was just good. He did not need this. He did it for you and me, and we had better be there for him.
Well, I do agree. He did not need this. That is absolutely a true statement. Let's talk about if the Democrats are able to wrestle control away. Specifically, what do you think America would look like, one, if Hillary Clinton had won and the Democrats retained control of Congress, or two, if they win in 2020 and retain control or regain control of Congress? What is America looking at under a Democratic leadership?
Well, we avoided that by the election of President Trump, and I think that the answer is apparent to everyone who voted for the president. They knew that voting for Clinton would have meant even worse. Never in my life, and I'll speak personally, did I see president after president after president crossing political parties, but just one after the other, and when I thought it couldn't get worse, it got worse. Did I ever think it could get worse than Obama? Well, yes, I did, and I couldn't believe every single election it was getting worse. So I don't think I have to speak much to what would have happened to our country had not President Trump not been elected, and neither, Dave, am I going to address the hypothetical that the Democrats will take control, because I do not believe in such hypotheticals. I believe in focusing on the positive, the favorable, and all of the hard work that every single one of us must do in our personal lives toward loving everyone, and in our political lives to making sure we represent, get people who represent us. And I think the focus needs not to be on some hypothetical that we reject. The focus needs to be on the hard work that we need to be doing now, most especially for the midterms. It's going to take all of us. You can't ignore this. If you want our country to continue going in this direction, we're going to need your help come this November.
Well, I will say this. For people like you and me, we see the value in what Trump has done and the need to support it. I totally agree with what you're saying. However, there are people that are motivated by the what-if and the fears, and they are different than us. They're different than you and me. And that's why I like to talk about at some point in time. I don't like to talk about it all the time.
I understand.
What is the alternative to inaction? If you, we do nothing as a nation.
I would tell you, I believe, I understand your qualification there. I believe that economically, which is exactly what the Marxist plan ultimately is it would be a collapse in the United States and everyone is going to suffer. I believe that there would be widespread suffering in every way that you can measure it. I believe both in the medical, both in our provisions, all of that, because their goal, as I said, Democrats, the party of death, is ultimately death to America, which is also going to entail the death of people, because they are not going to care about your well-being. Look at what they did with their medical care, Obamacare. That also results in it. You're going to see government power and government control, and more government control is not the answer. You are not a weakling dependent upon them telling you how to raise your children and what you should have and doling it out to you. You need the encouragement of personal responsibility. You need an economy where you can thrive. I just would say that everything that they advocate, which is evil and dark, would cause some of the worst collapse, and I think everybody has seen such depictions. I think all of that is possible with a democratic rule. I say look at the just on a small level. Take a look at the cities in our country where Democrats have ruled. You don't want that for our whole country, because there you see so much suffering, you see so much crime. Do you really want only the government to have firearms? Do you really want only the government to have the power? You will not thrive. And I believe we're here to thrive as individuals, and that only happens in freedom. And the Democratic Party is completely against your freedom as an individual.
You know, if President Trump ever needs a press secretary, you might fit the bill pretty well.
I would love to.
let's talk about how people can follow your good work, because this has been inspiring in terms of how far we've come under Trump's leadership. And yes, we're having a bump in the road right now, but you're absolutely correct. The trend curve is definitely up. So let's talk about, you know, people say, well, I want to know more, and I want to hear more of what Christine has to say and write. How can people do that?
Well, thank you, Dave, and it has been a pleasure to be with you again. I invite everyone to my website, which is christinesmith.us. And from there, I invite you to my Donald Trump. It'll say President Trump page. And on there are numerous essays. They will link you directly to the essays, Democrats, the Party of Death, and many other political essays examining both domestic and international policy, as well as many of my other media interviews. Again, that's christinesmith.us.
That sounds terrific. I wanted to ask you one question before we close. I've been very outspoken that Jeff Sessions has been a man of inaction, and I've called for his removal by President Trump. In fact, I even call him Mr. Magoo because I don't think he can see his feet in front of him. What's your opinion of him? Is he the sly fox in wait, or was it just a bad choice by President Trump?
My opinion is, as with some of the other choices that he made, not the best choice for several reasons, but he learns that after the fact. You can't know everything necessarily, especially in the position of a non-politician suddenly being becoming president, and I think that he is becoming stronger as he is president in the choices he will now make.
Okay. Smart money, Christine, that I'm getting from trusted sources, Sessions is going to prove, let's put it this way, he's going to serve the role of the useful idiot for a couple of more months. Mm-hmm. And into the summer, I'm hearing Trey Gowdy could be the next guy up, which is why he did not run for re-election.
That's what I'm getting. And I think he would be excellent.
That is my conclusion, too. Well, Christine, this has been another very quick-moving hour, and I really appreciate you coming on and giving your side of it, and I look forward to having you back on again.
Thank you, Dave.
Ladies and gentlemen, Christine Smith, and This is a rising voice here in the independent media, and I really believe that you're going to hear much, much more about her in many different outlets. And we're glad to have brought her to you. I want to take a moment here before we go to our top of the hour break, and just a note to Todd, we are back up and running here at Command Central, so we will go back on our normal, regularly scheduled equipment during the top of the hour break. But one of the things that I wanted to make very clear to people is that Microsoft is taking over the role of tyrannical censorship. They make Google look calm. Some of you are going to be getting the same thing that I received from Microsoft. I think I received mine early because my reputation probably precedes me. But one of the things that they say they can do, and I want you to hear this, and I wrote an article about it, and you can check it out on thecommonsenseshow.com. It came out early this morning. And in the article, what I did is I took excerpts from what they sent to me with interpretations. But let me give you a couple of the things that are really, really upsetting. One, they say they will shut you down, and you will follow what they say. That is a quote. They will shut you down if you engage in hate speech. And we know how the liberals define hate speech. It's anything conservative that they disagree with. And then, of course, they say that you can't stalk. So that means if I write about Bill Gates and his felonious vaccines that sterilize people in the third world, have all kinds of side effects, that's terrorism. That's stalking by their standards. And they also say to prove their case against someone under their code of conduct rules, they say they can go into your files and extract them and use them as evidence against you. And they also reserve the right to block your emails. Did you hear what I just said? That is piracy. That is illegal. And you'll see the verbatim quotes in that article up on the Common Sense Show. This is Microsoft. And we're going to have to put our heads together over the next several weeks and decide what our options are, because this is a lot worse than YouTube demonetizing videos because they don't like conservative content. This is basically Microsoft saying, we own your computer, therefore we own you, and there's not a damn thing you can do about it. Well, we're going to come back at the top of the hour with Dr. Ted Brewer, and he's got a lot different take on Donald Trump and this omnibus bill than we just heard from Christine. So you're going to get both sides of the issue. We'll see you back here in hour number two.